107.7.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show from WRCO Radio. As we hit October, we start to look ahead to the final 3 months of the year. Unbelievable. And boy, we're less than, a month and a half away from Rotary Lights in the Park getting underway. In the studio today to talk about it, Keith Bailing, Richard Wasilek, Carrie Honer, and Kathy Rooney. I combined your names, I'm sorry. But welcome to the morning show. Kathy, as president of the Rotary, it's been a busy season, kind of busy off-season, I'm sure, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It seems like Rotary Lights is like a year-long thing. I don't know whether Keith and Rich take any time off from it, maybe a few days in January, but that's about it.
So some things going on. Maybe you can talk about some of the positive things going on with the club these days.
Well, the club does a lot of different things in the community. We have a grant program that we have now for, I don't know, how many years have we been doing that? 3-4 years now, where if you can apply for a grant, there's an application on our website. You can apply for a grant that we can give out for basically nonprofit organizations. I don't even remember how much we've given out over the past few years, but it's been quite a bit of money. We also are going to be doing a scholarship for Southwest Tech. The Southwest Tech program for the power distribution students come and help us do the wrap the trees. The deciduous trees, the big ones, they could get the lifts from, we get them from Simpsons, and they come wrap the trees.
And I might mention that this scholarship we had at a campus for another group, and so when the campus closed, club decided it would be good to change this, and since the power distribution class, we wouldn't have these big trees decorated without them, so it's an excellent place to get a scholarship.
Great, and a great way for people to learn, too, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, I think it benefits both of us. I mean, the students get to come out, climb in a bucket, and go up and, you know, in the trees, and I'm certainly not going to do that, so it benefits the club to have the trees wrapped. So it's a win-win for all of us.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is. I know you've been working on sponsorships. Could you talk about those?
Yeah, we had the sponsorship applications all went out right around the 15th of September. We sent out over 200 applications. We have a limited space. That's for the first 175 people that come in. I believe we've got right around 50 or so that have already come in, so they're gonna go fast.
Is there a deadline for that, Kathy?
November 1st.
Okay.
Yes.
So we'll mark that down, and hopefully you're sold out before then, right?
We have. We had. I can't remember how many on a wait list last year. So I think it was over a dozen.
What are the levels of like tree sponsorship too?
Well, we've got a number of different levels. There is, Santa, I believe, or no, is it the North Pole is like a $3,500 and above.
Okay.
It comes with, you know, your name's on the welcome flyer, recognition on we have a big board when you walk in. It print ads, and you get like a tree that you can decorate too. Then we have the Santa, which is $1,000 to $3,400. And you get all of, you know, recognition on the boards and everything like that. The lowest ones is the toy level, and it's $100 to $249. And you get the tree, comes with that, and then your name's in the print ads and things like that as well.
Okay. So hopefully people will rush and crowd and
yeah,
get part of that.
You know, and our memorial trees have gotten so popular, and it's awesome to, you need to walk through the lights to see those memorial trees and just get a feeling of the, you know, for all of the people. It's really a blessing to have those there.
What a great tribute to someone, right?
It is. It truly is.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring on Keith Bailing, who's over here as well. Keith, was it a good year last year for Rotary Lights in the Park?
Well, it was, no question. And that was our 13th year. So we get off that magic 13 and go to 14th year this year. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of amazing. Rich and I have been involved since the beginning. And I think back to that, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. So, yeah, it was really good year, and Rich has got some recognition and listing of some of the things that happened because of 2023.
All right. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, sure. As Keith was saying, 2023 was a great year. It was our 13th year. We opened on Thanksgiving Eve and run through New Year's Eve. And students from Southwest Tech and our instructors, help us with that. We had visitors last year of 13,685. Some of those may have came to two or three times, but what we do is we just get, as the car comes through or the walkers come through, how many's in your group, and write that down. And if they come through three times, why, fine. We don't know that, but that goes into the total amount. So that, I don't know if that was our biggest year. I think our biggest year is actually the COVID year, when people couldn't do other things, but they could get out and walk in the lights. And that was, as a good thing we had that opportunity for people to get out and enjoy fresh air. So that's a couple of things there. The girls talked about the scholarship. I want to mention that the park department staff is key in using some of their equipment to help us set the post and various other things when it comes to graveling the drive portion of the that. They we don't even have to ask them. They'll go through and say, well, here's a low spot or needs a little gravel, and they just add that. So the park over the years committee had just been excellent to work with, and we wouldn't get some of this stuff done without them. Monetary donations last year for a foundation, we had $625. Food donations, 6,490 items, or 6,322 pounds of non-perishable food. So it's a good thing for the food pantry at that time of the year. And I know other clubs and everything seems to come together that time of the year to help the food pantry. But, that's a time of the year when I guess we think more of the giving, and even though they have a need throughout the year. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Keith, do you remember the vision, why you wanted to bring Rotary Lights in the Park here initially?
Yeah, I can. It kind of goes back to Dick and Jan Newman and family in La Crosse. And, of course, La Crosse has their Rotary Lights. That's their registered name up there for title of the program. And between Richland Center and La Crosse, these smaller towns would always have something out, decorations, whether it was private or going down Highway 14, you'd see some kind of Christmas displays. Well, Dottie and I have a son and daughter-in-law in Winona, Minnesota, travel that same route, and we see the same thing. Well, both Newmans and Dottie and myself independently would kind of say, we should be doing something in Richland Center. Because at that time, Highway 14 had been rerouted, and the only kind of thing that you would see was that big snowman on top of the roof across the highway here at the shopping center, at the square. That was it. That's all you would see, because the routing wouldn't take you through downtown and see the snowflakes. So that led to it, and Dick and Jan talked about it, and Jan told Dick, he said, why don't you call Keith? He's in Rotary. And he did. And so I said, I tell you what, Dick, why don't you put together a proposal and come and present it to the club. So in the meantime, before he did that, he contacted Dale Bender, superintendent of the electric utility, and they're kind of looking for a spot. Well, at that time, where the old junkyard used to be and where currently WCCU and Wacker Chiropractor and the Genuine Telecom is located in that building, that half block was open, and it had driveway cutouts on both sides of the block. So, we could put some stuff there and go through. Well, then Dale became aware of the pole mounts, the old ones that used to be around, Christmas trees and candles. They were stored in the Linda Harlan's store. down in the basement. So got those dug out and decided, Dale said, yeah, we could put those up. So we decided we needed to convert to LED. So we converted those to LED lights instead of incandescents. So that was another piece of the start. Well, then the location piece, for the real physical location, Aaron Troxell and his wife, part of the membership, and we talked about this location thing, and after Dick did his presentation, they went up to the, looking around town, they went up to the park, and they came back and said, it's got to be at the park. We're still there.
So after all these years. It's grown, too.
Oh, yes, yes. It sure has. So that's it's a great thing. And we get so many comments from the general public that, oh, this is a great thing for the community. And we believe that, too. Uh-huh. We it's part of that service above self, a motto of Rotary. And certainly it is a good thing for town. Rich mentioned over 13,000 came through last year. And I just share one thing. People coming. Last year, I can't remember what month it was, Dottie got a phone call from a writer for the Rural Electric Cooperative magazine. And, of course, that's published and distributed through all the individual electric cooperatives around the state of Wisconsin. And she said, we want to do an article about your show. Well, that's great. And Dottie asked if she could see a preview copy first, and the lady sent that to her and went through and did the edits, the corrections kind of thing to make sure it told the right story. That went out in one evening during the walkthrough part. I happened to notice some folks, a group of six people, standing near the exit on the after walking through. And I'm kind of curious where people are from, and they were just kind of visiting, walked over. And asked them, I said, oh, where are your folks from? Barron, Wisconsin. They came to Rotary Lights in the Park because of reading that article in the Electric Cooperative magazine. Later on, met another kind of the same thing they were driving through. They're from Cassville. We read it in that article in that magazine. So that's how we get some people coming from around the state. And so it's kind of fun to learn where people are from and come and enjoy the lights.
Right. And you have no idea where everybody come from, because they could be from even further away, couldn't they?
Yeah, well, because we do the zip codes.
Oh, sure.
People usually ask that question, where are people from? And I say, well, really, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border and from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And, of course, they come just because of Rotary Lights from that distance.
Right.
By the way, it happens to be family celebrations and Christmas celebration, New Year's, et cetera. But I always like to say that, yeah, they come because of Rotary Lights from those outlying states. So,
But to that point, I've heard the comment from people who have come from, you know, California or New York or something like that to visit family, and they're like, we're going to come every year. Because we started coming, you know, when you guys first started, and it's just grown. So it's kind of become a tradition for families that get together at the holiday time.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the other thing is, it starts, as Keith mentioned, Thanksgiving Eve, but it's become kind of a Thanksgiving tradition as well for families.
Exactly, exactly.
It? Yeah. We've kept Carrie quiet over here, Carrie Honer, but treasurer for the Rotary. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've been listening to the conversation, though. You'd be proud, I'm sure, to be a part of Rotary Lights in the Park, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I came on maybe about 5 years ago, and I've enjoyed being part of the organization and a part of this event, because it's very well appreciated by the community.
It may be the best-known thing that Rotary's involved in, isn't it?
Currently, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Sure. Well, tell me about Rotary, why you're involved, and your role there.
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago that I had joined, and I didn't really know much about what Rotary stood for or what their organization was, but I did find it interesting, and just being a worldwide organization as well, there's so many different opportunities. But locally, I really did enjoy the activities that we have partaken in, primarily the Rotary Lights in the Park.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier, I believe that Kathy did, about scholarships, but maybe you could kind of go into that a little bit as well.
Well, I'd like to talk about the charity grant, if that's okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. the charity, the giving grant that we do. We started that in 2020 just as a way to give more back to the community, and especially our local nonprofits. You know, that was during a time when a lot of them were struggling too. So we've opened up. It's a charitable giving grant that people can apply for. It is available on our website. There's an application that can be completed. It's a very short application. They can print it off and mail it in for us to review. we typically get back within the next a couple weeks, so it's a pretty quick turnaround time.
Okay. So tell us who's eligible and how that works.
They're for local, meaning within the Richland County area, and nonprofit organization is what we're really trying to recognize and contribute the funds to.
And how much funds are we talking about, or does it vary?
It does vary. It is a max grant of $2,000.
Are there grants for the Rotary that you can apply for as a club, too?
We have in the past.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you have a pet project or something you're looking at.
You know, Keith and Rich can talk more about the shelters that have been built, and those were with some matching grant funds from the district Rotary clubs.
Yeah. Richard, I know you were a part of that as well when that happened.
No, I didn't catch what she said.
Oh, the building of the shelters at the...
Oh, okay. Yes, the shelters, we have three of them.
Two
of them, yes. That started out as not as competition against the Lions or something, but just some of the projects we were doing, for instance, with the canoeing and putting a shelter in place for those people to, you know, meet, have picnic, get in their canoes or their kayaks and enjoy mm-hmm. the Pine River. So we put one down by where the old radio station used to be, which is also a porting place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
the ones at the fairgrounds.
Right. And then, the one at the fairgrounds, yeah.
Yeah, along the Pine River when people are kayaking or whatever.
Sure. Another port place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are some of the things you do. Certainly, when does it start now in terms of decorating the park? When do you start unwrapping all the lights and everything? Pretty soon?
Pretty soon. We've met with the various departments within the city. Of course, Richard mentioned the park department is very vital, and we have annually a review with what we do and make sure we're on the same page of everything, and then we do a two-year agreement and renew that every 2 years with the park department and then through the city. With the public works department, which includes streets and all the electric utility, all those departments these days, as they kind of reorganized a bit, met with them. And with electric utility, they're extremely vital to us, so they'll be on board when the Southwest Tech people come here on the 30th and 31st of October. And then with the street department, we don't need their services until closer to opening, get street barricades and traffic cones and that kind of thing from them. And so in that whole time period then from the 30th of October will be setup time. And if anybody would like to volunteer, things that are involved with that, loading up steel posts, loading up C7 lights for the Southwest Tech students to put up in the trees and getting those up to the park, setting the steel posts and attaching the displays wherever we decide to put a display and getting those secured. So that all happens really because of volunteers that are pretty much working on the ground. And so that's really starting with the public probably about November 1st. That after the Southwest Tech is pretty much done and out of there with the trucks and that kind of thing. We may be doing a few things over on the east side of Jefferson Street between the street and the basketball court, because that's out of their way with all the trucks and all the activity with putting the deciduous tree lights in. So, yeah, it's coming along. We've just got a couple of things to finish up, a couple of things that we're needing repair, and we're just about finished with the last new thing that's coming for his assembly. There is one. It's made in Missouri, and of course the lights don't come from this country.
No,
that'll go. But it's going to be an intriguing new piece. I'm not even going to tell you what it is because it's going to be more dynamic.
Got to save some surprises. Yeah, I mean, you've got to save there. Something. Yeah, I mean, it's an enticing to get you to come.
Yeah,
right.
It's looking at the video of what it will be. It's pretty fascinating. So we think that they'll like it. And of course, just kind of a general awareness for this whole program, that's a fairly expensive piece. But we tend to budget about $25,000 a year to put on the show. So all of the sponsorship and the donations that happen during the show are vitally important to sustain it. And we always talk about investment to the food pantry and some of these other activities that we do, plus reinvestment in the show. So donations and sponsorships are extremely important to make this all work. So it's like everything else, it takes money.
It does. It does. And as we drive through, Richard, we're looking at all, you know, how can you actually pack any more into there? But it sounds like you guys just add to it every year, don't you?
Yeah. We're going to try to put some different things over on the east side, which is where the big flag is or the tennis courts are.
Okay.
This year. And then we have had in the past expanded into the gazebo area. So as we move stuff out of there into the east side, then we'll have more room there. And we try to change things around a little bit. It's kind of a funny thing. Our train has been the very first year, I think, that was built. And you move locations and someone says, oh, I didn't know you guys had a train. Well, you know,
didn't see it before.
Uh-huh. Didn't happen to notice it. You know, just so we do some of those things too. And I do want to mention that you know, Scott Gauld, who now is part of the helping us with Southwest Tech. Without them and Scott's help there, we wouldn't get some of this things done too. He's been very good to work with. Dale taught him well, I guess.
Yeah, I think so too. He passed the torch, so
yeah,
to speak.
Right, that's right. You know, so
we didn't have very many bad weather nights last year, did we?
We were lucky. Yeah, it was pretty good. Was it three?
I think it was three,
something like that. Mm-hmm. Just as a heads up for that whole thing, thank you to WRCO for putting out that usually around 3 p.m. when we try to make the decision, open or not open. But we get blizzard, snowstorms, extremely cold. We won't open because we just got to protect our volunteers. And we don't really want people thinking they should be out on the road to get here to see it and the roads are bad and that kind of thing. So it's kind of our concern for safety of the public that we do that. And of course, and more importantly, the volunteers, the safety of them and the comfort of those folks. Just on the display things, another new piece that goes into what we've done for quite a while. One of our members suggested we need to recognize our military. And so that led to those emblems that are hung on the chain link fence over by the tennis courts. Well, I don't know if everybody remembers, there's a new department in the Department of Defense, Space Force. So we're going to have the new emblem for that agency now and for that military department. So there will be a seventh military emblem up there on the chain link fence. So it's all in honor of the people that serve this country in the military, and certainly they deserve a lot of recognition.
You're up to date now.
Well, yes, we will be. Yes.
That's awesome. Kathy, like a lot of organizations, you could always use new members, couldn't you?
Of course we could. If you're interested, you can give any one of the Rotary members a call, and we can help you, you know, walk you through what you need to do, or if you just have questions, you can go on our website and look at, you know, what we do. But yeah, we're always looking for new members.
Can someone help out with Rotary Lights in the Park and not be a member?
Oh, yes, most definitely. If you just want to be involved in a little bit of holiday cheer, come and help. Rich and Keith would love to have the help.
I will make a comment on that. Yes, we have several volunteers that would, and you work in Rotary Lights. We need people like Keith and I were retired and could devote some time to that. You actually need retired type people that can work in the daytime to help with Rotary Lights and be willing to join a club. We have a lot of volunteers that want to, you know, enjoy helping whatever was one day or 5 days or whatever with getting the lights up. But then because they go away or other things, they don't want to be tied down with the club, unfortunately. But some of those people would be excellent members for us, you know. And leadership is a situation that all the clubs struggle with. I don't care which club you belong to. Leadership and getting members and retaining members is difficult. And when Keith and I worked, and other people that are working now, you have people maybe that you work with that you can invite. Well, as you get away from that, after I've been out of Rockwell for 20 years, hard to tell that, hard to believe that already, next year, you don't have that same contact with people daily like you do. So anybody listening to this that's interested in Rotary, even if you just want to start with volunteerism and helping us get them up, and then, you know, we only have a meeting once a month right now, but you're always welcome to come to, you know, to talk to us and talk about, you know, maybe becoming a member. Without them, we won't have a club someday, you know. So,
right. And Carrie, you're one of the younger members. Do you remember why you joined? Did somebody tell you about it?
Yeah, it was actually through a previous coworker who had been a Rotary member and strongly suggested that that could be something I'd be interested in. And I do like the community aspect of Rotary. They do a lot just locally for the community.
They do. And a lot about families, too, right? Mm-hmm. If someone would like to make a donation to the cause, can they do that anytime?
Oh, at any time. It doesn't have to be during the Rotary Light season. Yeah, we would take donations throughout the year. Visit our website. It's RotaryClubOfRichlandCounty.com, and you can see different ways to contact us.
And that's where people can look for the grant application as well.
Correct.
You talked
yep.
about. Good. Well, we'll direct people there. Kathy, anything else that you'd like to add today?
Just a few notes. I mean, starting November 22nd at noon, okay. If you sponsor a tree, you can start decorating. We do offer a service. If you prefer not to decorate, on the application, you can check that box, and for $50, we'll decorate your trees. Or we actually have a group decorate the tree, and they get the $50. We have sign-ups for volunteers if they want to, you know, work the lights one night, and they get, this year we're upping it.
Yeah, this year we've changed it. We want to give more back to the community. We've changed, it used to be $50 for every evening that a group volunteers at the show help greet customers, or not customers, help greet our visitors and collect monetary donations and food donations. It used to be $50, now it's $100. So it allows us to give more back to the community.
I think that's a good way to get maybe some high school students involved too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We do have quite a few high school clubs that volunteer an evening or two.
Mm-hmm. Most yeah. definitely. Mm-hmm. St. Mary's and the high school and the intermediate school, a lot of their groups come and work an evening. But there's a great way to just be involved and see the smiling faces.
How do they schedule that, or is there a sign-up sheet for that?
We have it. It's on GoDaddy.com.
Okay.
Not GoDaddy.
No, it's a sign-up genius.
Sign-up genius. Yep, sorry.
But there's a link on our website. So, again, if you go to RotaryClubOfRichlandCounty.com, there's a Rotary Lights in the Park page. Click on that, and you will see more information about the event, dates and times. And then there's a link to the sign-up genius sheet for volunteers. It'll show you what's available. Just go ahead and sign your club up. And then we also have the sponsorship for trees. That's also on the website now too. So if you're interested in being a tree sponsor.
And that deadline is coming up too, right?
November 1st.
November 1st.
Yep.
Wow.
And like I said, there's 175 trees. So it's first come, first serve.
That's awesome.
When they look for that link for the sign up genius, you scroll down. It's after in the section with Freezing for a Reason. And that print for that link is kind of in a gold color, so you could actually scroll past it quite easily because it's not really, really bold, but it's there. So in that Freezing for a Reason section on the webpage, that's where you'd find the sign-up genius link. So, and then one of the kind of a little new thing that we kind of discovered last year and some years before even, the park rules. And I asked for the public for help on this, indicate that the only place that dogs should be in the park is on top of the dike, the walking path. Well, there's been people that like to come down in amongst the show area in a dog. It can be any time. And I've seen, through security cameras at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's lots of extension cords out through there and in the dark and that kind of thing. We just ask people to not do that strolling through the show area. Keep your dog up on the top of the dike and follow the park rule. That's not our rule, it's mm-hmm. theirs.
But it's a safety thing, though.
It's a safety thing, yeah, it really is. So then the other thing we discovered that our Latino population is growing. And I'll brag a little bit about my grandson. He's a new Spanish teacher out at the high school. And I said, Tanner, could you help us translate some of the language? And we'll put up new signs on top of the dike. about the entry is over on Jefferson Street instead of dropping dropping over the dike and walking through the show area.
And good luck with that. We'll be getting those announcements on there, but November 1st is the cutoff for sponsorship, and you guys will be busy in the meantime then, too. So thanks for coming in today talking about Rotary Lights in the Park. Keith Bailing and Richard Waslick, who are the co-chairs, and Kerry Honer, treasurer of the Area Rotary Club, and Kathy Rooney, the president. We'll have more coming up on The Morning Show.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's Morning Show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
There's more work to be done. That's why I'm asking for your vote this November. Together, we'll build a better Wisconsin.
Paid for by Kurtz for Assembly.
There is something wrong with our water. We have no pressure.
No problem. Here comes Larry Ferguson from Advanced Pump and Well Solutions. He'll get us up and running in no time.
Where is his toolbox? Doesn't he need a pipe wrench? What is he pulling out of that gunny sack?
It's his trumpet. Watch this.
Wow. He primed the pump and got the water flowing with his trumpet?
Whatever it takes. Advanced Pump and Well Solutions in Richland Center is up to the challenge 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Call them at 608-649-4488.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. News Time is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice. And by Chet's Feed Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. The forecast calls for sunshine and breezes and a high of 73 for today. The air is calm right now in Richland Center. We're at a chilly 36 degrees after a high this morning of 43.
Hello, friends. Ellie here at Chet's. Remember, it's your bird's most favorite time of the year. At Chet's, we have many choices to feed them, from sunflower seeds, Niger, finch food, a variety of suet cakes, bird feeders, and the famous Chet's special, sold by the pound or bag. Keep your birds happy and stop down to Chet's for all your bird seed needs.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Pushing for record numbers of Wisconsin Republicans to turn out for Donald Trump in November, the message from a pair of former Republican governors at Donald Trump's Tuesday rally in Dane County. Scott Walker asked Republicans to tell family and friends that life was better when Donald Trump was president of the United States, and Tommy Thompson called for a record Republican turnout in Wisconsin. Thompson said Dane County counts, Madison counts, Wisconsin counts, and we're going to win. Following his rally at Dane Manufacturing in Wanakee, Trump moved on to another Democratic stronghold in Milwaukee. The Department of Natural Resources asks you to check for fire danger levels before doing any outdoor burning. Dry weather, gusty winds, and minimal rain chances in the forecast means increased fire risk. Areas with fallen leaves and dormant plants and grasses are especially vulnerable, and the main cause of wildfires at this time of year is burning brush and leaf piles. Check fire danger levels, burning restrictions, and more by visiting the DNR website. Emergency Management Administrator Greg Engel says Wisconsin Task Force 1 is a state asset with specialized training and capabilities which can deploy in Wisconsin and beyond. 16 members of the Swiftwater Rescue Team left over the weekend with specialized equipment like boats, water rescue gear, and communications equipment. The task force is currently assisting with searches in West North Carolina. Members come from 8 fire departments from across Wisconsin. Task Force 1 was originally requested to help for 7 days after Hurricane Helene, but that could be shorter or lengthened based on the need. More beer and wine licenses will be available in the city of Richland Center. The Common Council of the City of Richland Center amended Chapter 399 of the Richland Center Code of Ordinances at last night's meeting as follows. The number of persons and places that may be granted liquor licenses by the City of Richland Center is limited as provided in the Wisconsin statutes, and the Common Council shall have the exclusive authority to grant licenses under this chapter, except that the council by resolution may designate a committee or other subunit to exercise this authority on the council's behalf. The ordinance had previously allowed less licenses than what state statutes allow.
Also, it was reported that the overhead crane in the streets shop used for repairs, installation, and removal of equipment from trucks has stopped working. Cone Cranes, who does the inspection and repair work at both the city and county, was contacted for service and a repair estimate. The council approved the overhead crane repair at the streets building by Cone Cranes at a cost of $7,842. In other action, Casey Gerner was appointed to the ADA committee, and Todd Coppernall was appointed to the Utility Commission. Tony Burke spoke during the public comment section of last night's meeting, explaining that he and his wife have purchased Town Taxi from the Carley family. He is hoping to apply for a public transportation grant. The next Richland Center City Council meeting will be a week later than normal in November. The meeting, regularly scheduled for the first Tuesday of the month, will be held on the second Tuesday in November due to the general election on November 5th. The Ithaca School District will be holding an informational session tonight in regards to a referendum question that will appear on November's election ballot. The question will be asking voters to authorize the Ithaca School District to exceed the revenue limit by $1.3 million per year for 4 years for non-recurring purposes. As in previous sessions that were held, those who will be in attendance will be informed about the referendum question and the two major reasons for it. Also, the impacts it will have on residents of the Ithaca School District will be discussed. Tonight's informational sessions will be held at 5:45 in the Ithaca Community Gym. If you are unable to attend tonight's session, one more will be held on Sunday morning at 11:30 at Willow Valley Church Hall. All are welcome to attend both sessions. The Richland Center Kiwanis will be hosting one of its famous pancake suppers tonight from 5 until 7.
It'll be at the Richland Center Community Center. It'll be pancake, sausage, apple sauce and warm cherries, the same as we normally do. All the pancakes you can eat, fried right in front of you. And it's a fundraiser for Coats for Kids.
Steve Colstead talking on behalf of Kiwanis. Your free will offering helps keep children warm over the winter.
We generally donate someplace between 125 and 170 coats to kids in need in our community through the Coats for Kids program. And this is one of those major sources of money for that particular program. We always take a goodwill offering because we really don't want anybody be turned away. You know, if somebody comes and they only have a few dollars, or even if they don't have any money, you know, they go through the line and get fed.
The Richland Center Kiwanis Pancake Supper will be held tonight from 5 until 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. Firefighters have been battling a blaze at a railroad tire recycling facility in western Wisconsin. Multiple reports say that the fire broke out early Tuesday morning at Omaha Track in the town of Campbell on French Island, just outside the city of La Crosse. The facility grinds up scrap railway ties and materials into chips that can be used as biofuel. Flames and smoke from the fire could be seen for miles. Multiple fire departments were still fighting the blaze late yesterday. No injuries had been reported. The cause of the fire is unclear. Transform your outdoor spaces with Bailey Paint and Decorating's Benjamin Moore Woodlux Stains. With over 3,500 colors, you can achieve the perfect look for any project. From translucent to ultra-flat solid stains, Woodlux by Benjamin Moore enhances the natural beauty of your wood. Providing one coat coverage with minimal lap marks, Benjamin Moore Woodlux protects against UV rays, frost, and mildew, ensuring your wood stays beautiful year-round. Visit Bailey Paint and Decorating today in Richland Center and discover the Woodlux difference. Bailey Paint and Decorating, your local experts in quality and color. The forecast for today calls for a high of 73. Sunshine, breezy, and turning mild. In fact, those winds could be between 12 and 25 miles per hour later. Mostly clear tonight and 47. 70 warmer than normal on Thursday, that is. And also Friday, 68, sunny and pleasant conditions. 78 Saturday with a 40% chance of nighttime showers. Right now, after a little bit of a fog in some areas this morning, our temperature has continually dropped. We're down to an overnight low of 36 degrees.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing, and by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look back at last night's high school schedule, and the Brewers have their backs against the wall entering tonight's game.
Richland Hospital was recently recognized with a 5-star rating for patient experience. Patients were surveyed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services on numerous aspects of their care experience, including how attentive their nurses were, the cleanliness of the facility, and how well they understood what their plan of care would be after they left the hospital. A 5-star rating is the highest score possible. Thank you, Richland area community, for trusting us with your care.
Richland Center enjoyed a homecoming match win over Platteville in high school volleyball last night, 3-2. It was the second time this year the two teams went 5 sets. The Hillmen won the first time, and Platteville last night lost to Richland Center. It was Platteville's first conference loss as they fell to 6-1. The Hornets improved to 5-2. The scores were 19-25. 25-17, 25-15, as the Hornets won 2 and 3. Platteville won the fourth, 25-13, and Richland Center edged out Platteville 15-13 in the final. The Hornets won the JV1 match 2-1 and lost the JV2 match 2-1 as well. Coach Jamie Johnson talked about the victory, a big one for the Hornets.
The student section, the fans in general were great tonight, gave us a lift when we needed it. We said early on, it's like a heavyweight fight, and I told the girls the first set, we played very well. It just, they got that little run, and we're going to get our counter punches in. We're too good not to, and we're playing too well, and got sets 2 and 3. I was really hoping to get done in 4 tonight, but this is definitely a memorable homecoming. It keeps us in the conference race, helps with seeding, just so many things. It's a homecoming win that the girls really fought for at the end. The homecoming energy in the last 5 minutes is what I think really won that match for us tonight.
Richland Center will host River Valley on Tuesday night when it's returning to conference action. Elsewhere last night, it was Lancaster edging River Valley 3-2 and Dodgeville 3-0 over Prairie du Chien. In the SWAL, Riverdale grabbed a victory against Boscobel 3-1. Cuba City swept Fenimore. It was Darlington over Iowa Grant in 4 sets. In the Ridge and Valley, North Crawford 3-1 over Weston. Kickapoo was a winner against Waseca Steuben 3-1. Also last night, a victory for the Ithaca Bulldogs. That was a marathon match as well. 27-25, 25-13, the Bulldogs. Seneca came back to wins sets 3 and 4, 25-21, 25-22, before Ithaca emerged the victor 15-12 in the fifth and final set, and the Bulldogs stay in first place in the Ridge and Valley Volleyball Conference. Platteville-Lancaster edged Richland Center in high school boys soccer 1-0, scoreless tie at halftime and to late in the contest before Platteville-Lancaster hit the net for the only time on the night. Prairie du Chien, River Ridge, Seneca, Dodge Point, I should say, not over them, they tied 2-2 last night in the Southwest Wisconsin Conference. McFarland shut out Reedsburg 5-0. Wisconsin Dells 8-0 over Mauston. Sauk Prairie 5, Baraboo 1 as well. It was McFarland 3-1 over Portage in boys soccer. Yesterday, several teams traveled to Black River Falls, the site of the upcoming sectional, to get a chance to have a meet on that course. The Richland Center Ithaca girls, led by Grace Fretz, who was 4th overall in the running last night, and Pearl Fretz was 10th. Also, Rachel Waterfall was 21st, and Adeline Lawless was 31st for RCI. River Valley was led by Brielle Grant, who was 6th at the meet, and Molly Moss finished 9th. For the boys, Richland Center Ithaca's Ryan Stadler was 6th overall in the running, and Clayton Lee was 11th. Robert Budden was 19th, and Kiernan Culver was overall 23rd. The top River Valley runner was Bryce Ferguson, who was 33rd. Also, it was Nate Hamilton, finishing 40th for the Blackhawks. Mark Vientos with a tie-breaking two-run single during a five-run outburst in the fifth inning as the New York Mets beat the Brewers 8-4 in a National League wildcard series opener. Jesse Winker and pinch hitter J.D. Martinez each drove in two runs for the Mets. Bryce Terang went 3-for-4. Jackson Chirio was 2-for-4. And William Contreras had two RBIs for the Brewers. Milwaukee has now lost 10 of its last 11 playoff games. The Brewers try to stave off elimination later today. Frankie Montas will take the mound for Milwaukee, while Sean Manea goes for the Mets. Elsewhere, San Diego 4-0 over Atlanta in the other National League playoff game. And in the American League, Detroit 3 and Houston 1. Kansas City 1-0 over Baltimore. More on the Brewer game. As far as the contest, the Brewers came back to win to lead 4-3, but then the Mets took the wind out of their sails. Here's manager Pat Murphy.
It was emotional for both teams. Once it got to be 8-4, nobody did a thing. But credit to Severino settling down and really getting after it, making some great pitches. The reliever came in.
Our morning show continues, and we're talking to Fuzz McCauley here, who is Richland FFA Alumni Advisor, and he is back to talk with us in the studio during a real busy week. How you doing, Fuzz?
Good. Good, Phil.
You're getting ready for a big weekend at Wheels of Time, it sounds
like. Yeah. This is kind of our second big weekend, like in a few here. We had our FFA alumni events, the golf outing and the beanbag toss and stuff at the Legion, and we have our tractor raffle that'll take place at the Wheels of Time this weekend.
You've been selling those tickets at some of your other events. Are they going well?
Yeah, tickets have gone well. I think, you know, every year we're just fortunate. We have people that either want what you have or raffle. There are people, of course, that'll buy a raffle ticket no matter what it is. And then you have your followers. You know, you have your people that have supported for years and so we're fortunate we have all three groups that buy our tickets.
And it only takes one.
It only takes one. We like to sell them by the book, by the way. But, yes, it only takes one.
Well, tell us about the tractor that you're raffling off this year, Fuzz.
Well, this year's tractor is a 1942. That's before your time and my time. Alice Chalmers tractor, WC, I should say. And this tractor has been refurbished, and it's taken a few years to do this, mainly because of, you know, it just depends on how many students you have that want to really work on one. Of course, you know, if you can get out of class and just, yeah, let's go work on the tractor. Well, yeah, that's pretty, but there's more to it than that. So, but yes, it's taken a few years. And so this is a tractor that we have this year.
So the students at Richland Center worked on it then?
Right. So when you have these kind of projects, even like when we did motorcycle kit bikes with S&S Cycle years ago, tractor projects, that kind of thing, you know, it sounds like something that, you know, if you got 25 kids in a class, they could all get involved. Really doesn't work that way. It's kind of like if your father had 7 kids and he wants all 7 cows milked, you know, and you just got too many kids, too many things, not enough for people to do. So in most cases, you have maybe 3 or 4 students that are really interested in this tractor project, let's say. And so quite often, that's how many people might really have the hands-on experiences. You might pull others in and talk about what they've done, but it's not a like a 25 or 30 student project, you know, when you have this kind of thing going.
Was the tractor donated then?
Yes, tractors donated. All the tractors we've had over the years have been donated. So usually what, you know, and of course tractors come to us in all kinds of conditions. And so what, how much it takes to like invest in parts and that kind of stuff, you know, really varies. But yeah, tractors are donated.
And it does take a lot of work, you know, from start to finish. Is it torn all the way down and put back piece by piece then?
Well, that depends on the tractor.
Uh-huh.
But I guess I was thinking just last night, how many different areas of a tractor, you know, electronics and tires and the fuel system, and probably one that we that takes probably more time than any, and that is like get the dents out and, you know, the blast sandblasting and the ways that you clean these tractors up, you know, because most tractors might come to you with like a quarter inch of grease in certain places, you know,
right,
where maybe the front end of the tractor ended up being the skid steer and pushing things over the years. So there is a lot of work in a lot of areas of a tractor. Even the seat, for example, sometimes the steering wheels are, you know, and we're just really fortunate that we have a lot of alumni or supporters that you can count on. You call them up and say, hey, we got this problem with this tractor, or where do we get these parts? Maybe it's electronics and you call on somebody in the community that works on generators, works on harnesses of wiring and stuff. And these are people that will come up and usually help, let's say, these four or five students in putting this tractor together, trying to troubleshoot that part to make sure that it works. It's really kind of ends up being a real community project. I think almost everything comes from the community, except probably tires. And probably when we really kind of get the engine tore down, if we got to tear it down, I know we go to Boscobel to get that worked on. Students in the past would go to Boscobel and work with these people. And so, yeah, a lot of supporters to make this all happen.
And it's not cheap because you mentioned tires. They're mm-hmm. certainly not mm-hmm. cheap these days. Paint can run into money as well.
Right. Well, and this is kind of interesting, too. The FFA, of course, is a big organization with thousands of students, and of course the alumni is there's a lot of people across, I shouldn't just say America either, it's worldwide, a lot of countries with FFAs. But point being that one tire company, and I'm going to really try to stay away from names and even locally, because I know I'll forget somebody, and they know who they are, I'm sure. But this one tire company will, if you can prove to them or show them, you know, that you're doing a tractor restoration project, they'll donate the tires. So that is like awesome when that you get that kind of support with that. When it comes to other supplies, quite often we get our supplies at either a discount price or free, just by the people that are supporting us with that.
Yeah, I've noticed other FFAs here and across the country that kind of do the same thing, whether it's for themselves or for maybe a local cancer charity and things like that. They right. get involved, but yeah. it's a fun learning project, isn't
right.
it?
Right. We at the state FFA convention, which is usually in June in Madison, they'll have a place where you can take your tractors or anything you've restored, and they'll be on display. So we took our kit bikes there a few years, and then we take our tractors there sometimes, and just for display, you know. So there might be seven or eight tractors there that have been redone. Sometimes redone motorcycles are there. So yeah, it's a statewide interest that goes on.
What is interesting is the fact that a lot of the new stuff that comes out is not as easy to work on. You know, you're going back to those vintages. It is a little easier, but it is still all learning about motors and compression and how they work and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And that is not an area that I have a lot of experience in. I think I remember back when we first kind of got introduced to this as a maybe project, and I know in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm not too well equipped in this. I don't have much experience in this. And I am pretty sure that the students that wanted to do the first project were like, they probably had to really pull kind of hard. I think what it amounted to is we had a tractor donated to us and said, hey, take this and do what you want with it. So I'm like, oh boy. But again, that's where just community support, it's just huge.
Yeah, it's worked out really well over the years. You're selling tickets right now. If people see Fuzz, you can approach him and get your tickets for the weekend then, right?
Right, and of course we are so grateful that the Wheels of Time allows us to do our raffle there. So we will be there probably from noon Saturday into the, early evening. We'll be there Sunday, like noonish. I'm going to guess our draw is probably going to be like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we want you to come to the Wheels of Time, as of course. You can buy tickets there or just be there and see who wins. The tractor, we have a meat bundle that we do also on the raffle with Craig at the locker. Very, very big supporter. And then we also have cash, $250 cash. So it's a three-way raffle. We also have kind of something new this year, not even on the raffle ticket, but we have R&K and Ash Creek Plumbing have said, hey, you're going to be drawing these tickets here. Take these certificates and draw them as well. So what we're going to do is and if anybody else wants to join in on doing that, that's fine. We will draw for those first. And let's say you get a credit at R&K Auto, let's say. Then we take your ticket, put it back into the tumbler. So you could win these other prizes as well. So kind of a little different twist with what we normally do. Tickets can be purchased, see me, or, get a hold of somebody you know that's an alumni member, and they'll for sure make sure they can get in touch with me or whatever, make it happen.
How much are the tickets, Fuzz?
Well, the tickets are $5 each or a book of five for $20. So, obviously you buy a book, it's a better deal. And you are so correct in the fact that one only takes one ticket to win. But on the other hand, if you want to win the ticket and the tractor, and the meat bundle, you're going to have to get two tickets.
Two tickets, okay.
So, what I mean?
but well worth it. Right?
But, we found that the $20 book is just, it's just what most people do, and it works really well for
very,
us.
Very reasonable, yeah.
And we can turn around and use this money to support our FFA, which, of course, is the big deal. Just a little push here. We have a student, Simone Syrian, who is a graduated FFA member. She has qualified for the National Speaking Extemporaneous Speaking Contest. Our FFA alumni is out, of course, congratulating her, but are going to make a financial donation so that this college student from River Falls can get to the national convention and show her skills. So that's a little bit of what we do, and this is kind of a new take on our fundraising efforts.
About how many are in the Richland FFA?
Well, they usually run alumni. There's probably like 25 or 30 that are active, people that you call on and, yep, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you support the area FFAs.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Great. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a good deal. Hopefully people will come out and see you on Saturday. And you said the drawing is...
Yeah, probably it'll be after lunch on Sunday.
Sunday.
That'll be dependent on, the people that are running the Wheels of Time. They do an auction. I'm sure they've mentioned that, silent auction. And that is for supporting scholarships as well. So that organization has been very promotive of our youth.
Mm-hmm. Wheels of Time opens on Friday night, too, goes through Sunday. So, Fuzz, one last thing. So, if a person buys a ticket, wins a tractor, does the Richland FFA alumni provide marriage counseling in case that person takes a tractor home and the wife doesn't approve?
We offer counseling in many, many areas.
Do we?
tractor counseling would be a new one. But can you imagine winning the Alice Chalmers and taking it home to another color?
Uh-huh.
Preferenced family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see.
Like
so
a mixed.
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
If that orange fit has to fit in with green or red mm-hmm. or, counseling will be offered.
Okay. I have an orange and a red, so it fit right in real well. So.
Yeah, good deal.
In my new place, it'll fit in real well.
Uh-huh. So
anyway, thanks for coming in, Fuzz.
Yeah, thank you, Phil.
You bet. Fuzz McCauley, a Richland FFA alumni advisor. Come out and see him at Wheels of Time this weekend at the Richland County Fair. Grounds. They'll be there on Saturday and Sunday.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin.